May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, for the next 2 weeks, we will be looking at two complementary aspects of God's nature: God's immanence and God's transcendence. The closeness or approachableness of God is what theologians have tended to call God's immanence, whereas the superlativeness or otherness of God is what they call his transcendence. God with us and God over us. Well, this all sounds pretty heady, Father Lenny. Why bother with all this theological stuff, right? Well, first and foremost, it's because it's about who God is. When you really care about someone, you want to get to know everything about them. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be practical. Just knowing is enough because you love them. So, if you truly love Jesus, you should want to apply your mind to learn whatever you can about this wonderful God, both in his immanent intimacy and his total transcendence. But if you insist on having some practical application to knowing that God is deeply involved in our lives and completely superlative over and above all things, well, then our lessons the next couple of weeks should not leave you disappointed. Only remember that God doesn't exist to serve you, but you exist to serve him. The fact that Jesus came as a servant is pure grace, and any practical takeaway that we have from learning about our loving Lord is grace upon grace. So, today, as we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost coming to fill Christ's disciples, it is very appropriate for us to talk about God's immanence. The coming of the Holy Spirit means that God isn't merely near us in the sense that God is everywhere at all times, nor does it mean that God is only near us in the sense of interacting with us as his creatures. With the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God now, quite literally, takes up residence within his people. God's being present in us, imminent to the point of uniting himself to us from within, is something amazing. The Holy Spirit dwells inside sinful human beings. The powerful Creator Spirit of God lives within those he created. The unlimited Spirit promised by Jesus chooses to make a home within the confines of quite limited people. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And it was an event so momentous it couldn't be contained in some upstairs room. It had to spread out into the streets of Jerusalem, throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and ultimately reaching to the very ends of the earth. So when we consider our psalm and our selection from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, we realize that God's immanence is very purposeful. God's Spirit is active in the original creation, as we read in the psalm, and also in the new creation, as we read in Romans. This is hardly some deistic watchmaker winding it up kind of conception of God. The Spirit is hands-on, deeply involved in his creation. Sadly, sin has tainted this first creation with devastation and death. The animal kingdom, we read in the psalm, is terrified when God turns his gaze due to human sin. all of creation groans, longing for the children of God to be revealed, as we read in Romans. But thanks be to God, the first fruits of God's new creation is at work in those who place their trust in Jesus Christ. The gift of God's own indwelling Spirit is proof of what creation has been longing for so long. Before the Father's sending of the Spirit, our experience of God's imminence, His closeness, was somewhat limited. We knew God's Spirit was present throughout the world, but not inside us. We knew later on that from Jesus that we could call God Father, a very relational term, not just Yahweh as He had been called before, the God who truly exists. Also, with Christ's coming, we knew God as Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. But now, in St. John's Gospel, we see that our Savior is reinforcing the necessity of His physical departure in order to make room for the Holy Spirit to come and fill His people. And through the Spirit, we get to know the mind of God. The Spirit will lead us into all truth. That's right. By the Holy Spirit, we can genuinely get the divine inside scoop. All that God wants us to know and to understand. We no longer have to be in the dark about God's will to love Him and to love others. He'll even reveal timely information that helps us tap into His new creation right in the midst of the old creation's decay. So the Spirit fills us. The Spirit begins the new creation in us, and the Spirit opens our eyes to see God's truth. But if that's all that God did, if that's all that the Spirit did, who else would benefit from such good news? Somebody needs to get the word out about the imminent gift of God's Holy Spirit. As we return to our lesson from Acts, we see St. Peter preaching to a crowd, just hot on the heels of the disciples' supernatural prayer and praise and worship session that people from all over heard in the language closest to their own heart. And through these same disciples that he just filled, the Spirit communicates the message of Christ's redeeming work. Jesus, Peter even reinforces the communicating work of the Spirit. He reminds those who are present that just as the prophet Joel had promised, the Spirit will give visions and dreams to young and old alike. That's, of course, not unlike Jesus' promise in our gospel lesson that the Spirit will lead His disciples into all truth. Plus, according to Joel, Peter reminds the crowd that they will prophesy. They will speak aloud and abroad everything God has done through Jesus and is doing now by His Spirit. Our Lord wants the message of His saving love to get out. It shouldn't be locked behind some false cultural propriety that makes religion something merely personal. It shouldn't be caught in your throat by any fears or doubts that you have about those that you know that God wants you to share His message with. If persecution and martyrdom didn't keep the first Christians quiet, how much more should we be public with the words and actions that proclaim the gospel in this land where religious freedom is codified into law? The Spirit gives us knowledge, words, time, even the nerve to bring the good news to those that we come into contact with every single day. People who haven't learned how our Savior loves them with an everlasting love. The imminent Spirit dwells within us to empower everyone who believes, not just ordained clergy, not just people who are particularly eloquent, but everyone to preach the gospel. God is powerfully active in those who believe in Jesus. God is beginning the new creation in those same believers. God opens the minds of believers to divine truth, and God empowers believers to spread the wonderful news of Christ's rescue, to let all of creation know that they can be a part of God's new creation initiative. So we have this wonderful knowledge about a God who's closer to us than our very breath. And we have practical insight into how the Spirit transforms, enlightens, and motivates the people of God into genuine witnesses of His rescuing love. That means that we are no longer without excuse. The Spirit of God Himself is holding us accountable for how we cooperate with His presence within us. How active are we in learning what we can know about God, whether in Scripture, in faithful tradition, or in prayerful contemplation in the experiences of our lives? How faithful are we in sharing the Spirit-filled good news with others? Are you willing to be that brave? Are you willing to let the nearness of God through His indwelling Spirit that's been given to you at baptism, let it make all the difference in your life and in the lives of others? Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor upon those who reaffirm their commitment to follow Christ and to serve in His name. Give them courage, patience, and vision. Strengthen us in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.